Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. Mark Vandermeer will join us in studio at 8 o'clock. We look forward to that. One of our pet projects on the show has been figuring out exactly how Herm Edwards will do as the new head coach at Arizona State. Kind of a curious hire a few months ago.
Especially, it was made even more curious by the fact that Arizona State presented it like it was going to be some revolutionary new model for the way things are done.
Where, NFL GM, head coach.
Herm Edwards would be like the CEO of a...
it's almost like I think was that the AD, the athletic director, would be like the GM, and then Herm be the head coach or something like that. It was some weird thing. It's like, why are you reinventing the wheel when everybody else does
but
it?
But if
one
you
way?
Are going to reinvent the wheel, is Herm Edwards necessarily, should he be a spoke in that wheel?
That's fair.
That's one of the questions. It's like Herm Edwards, like, honestly, he's got football acumen, obviously, but his biggest selling point is just kind of his personality.
Oh, yeah.
And that's great in college. Look, you can have but you got to have that personality, actually know who his recruits are. Yeah, you have to do things like that. Ed Orgeron, I'm watching him yesterday, and he's reeling off the names of all his recruits. CBS Sports interviewed him, and sometimes I listen to Ed Orgeron just to hear the sound of his voice, not to actually listen. But as he's talking about his recruits, I'm like, damn, this dude, he knows like all the relations names and everything. And then you listen to Herm Edwards, a guy who on the surface people would think is smarter than Ed Orgeron because they're biased against Southern accents. But then you have Herm Edwards who's sounding like this.
Just like an NFL. You draft seven players, and you're hoping that three of them are really good players. What's the difference in college football? You get 25 guys, and within 2 years, you're going to figure out who's who. We need it, and we went after it and got it. And when you can coach good players, you got a chance to win.
That part of it, I was okay with all that.
Pretty generic.
Landry, did you have an issue with him comparing it to NFL?
Yeah, it's nothing like the NFL. I mean, it's
how
not...
so? No, you get a bunch of five-star recruits. You know that some of them aren't going to work out.
He's saying there's some attrition.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can draft somebody that doesn't want to come there. I think he keeps comparing it to the draft. It's not the same at all.
No. But it is in how he was talking about talent evaluation and like how talent works out. Like you draft a bunch of guys because you feel like there's a chance that a few of them might really work out. Same thing. You get a bunch of 3, 4, and 5-star recruits. You don't really know which guys are actually going to work out, but some of them will. So I support Herm Edwards in this.
More Herm Edwards. Here's what the recruiting trips were like the last month or so.
A lot of fun. A lot of good meals on the road. It was not a bad meal involved. And, you know, working at ESPN, you see it. Coaching the Under Armour game. In the first quarter, kids would go up in the stands, you know, and they'd have the hats on. And gurus of the scouting world, you know, everyone has an opinion, and they have all these people that are giving you a grade. It's like the NFL, you know, when the draft's over with, everybody rushes to the newspaper. Did I get an A grade? Did I get a B grade? Did I get a C grade? We'll get graded. That's fine. We'll get graded on wins and losses. Who won the draft? Who won scouting? You know, we went after players that we think they can help us and upgrade us. Now we got coach.
Okay. All right. Now I see where you're going with this. A pattern is emerging where he's name-dropping the NFL. He's just constantly referring back to his experience in the NFL. And not to mention complimenting the fine. It's like he's working for the Restaurant Association of America or something. The head didn't have a single bad meal on the road.
I wanted to know more about his recruiting trips. I feel like I'd watch a reality show with Herm Edwards in these various recruiting
trips. Let me tell you something about these recruiting trips, Mike. It's just like in the NFL when you're going to interview a coach and you try to convince a coach to come here. It's just like the NFL.
Well, here's Herm Edwards.
Let me tell you about meals on the road. It's just like the NFL.
Great. Never a bad one. Herm Edwards, new head coach, Arizona State, on the type of guys that he wants in his program.
Once you've been a coach, you've always been a coach. I mean, you're talking about maybe my strongest strength is communication. I want to go to my dream school. Why can't your dream school be here? Doesn't have to be anywhere else. We're going to continue to recruit them hard. A lot of them, whether it's here, California, Nevada, Texas, will not fit our DNA. That's not personal. We can't recruit every kid. We're going to recruit the kids that fit our DNA.
There you go.
I like it.
Why can't we be USC?
This
is like, hey, why you can't be with the one you
Setting
love.
Setting standards.
Love the one you're with is what Herm Edwards is saying.
Yes.
Why can't we be your dream school?
I like that.
Yeah.
He's saying, listen, I don't need to go in California, all these different states, and I have to lower my standards and get everybody else is pursuing.
You know,
I'm going to have a culture and a standard here in Phoenix.
He's talking about bringing guys to Arizona State and how they have to fit the culture and everything. I worry that with Arizona State, part of the appeal of Arizona State is its reputation as a party school with very attractive female students.
Yes.
That might not mesh with getting like with nose to the grindstone football players. I feel like you're going to get a lot of Gronk types, but not necessarily with the Gronk physical ability. Like for every Gronk that can party like an Arizona State kid and still perform on the field, there's 10 other dudes that flame out by their sophomore year, like with a beer bong in their hand.
Yes.
That's what I would worry about with Herm here.
We've got one more. Herm Edwards, new head coach of Arizona State, on building the program back up.
You got to know what a player looks like and knows, okay, I'm the linebacker coach, but I'm watching the wide receiver. It's okay. Nothing personal on the player. Just doesn't fit. That's how the draft works, too. You look at the NFL draft, there are certain teams that are going to draft a certain type of player. There's enough of them to go around for everybody. There's good players everywhere. But you have to be very diligent at your work. There's going to be no stone left turned that we don't turn over. We're going to turn them off. We're going to figure out the guys that fit.
There you go.
Herm Edwards.
He's did you guys know
why
this?
Are you so
did
down
you guys
on him,
know
Landry?
That he used to he
he's
used
a
to,
disgrace.
Did you know he used to coach in the NFL? That's he's fresh out the recruiting trail. That's what you do with those kids. You walk in there and you got your what does he have? Did he win a Super Bowl at any turn?
Not as
ideally
coach,
you have yeah. a Super Bowl ring and
he
you wear the
not.
Super Bowl ring in there and that bling will get a kid. That kind of you wrap that on the table a couple times, that gets people's attention. But other way in the absence of that, you start just talking about your NFL experiences and how yeah, hey, look, if I'm Herm Edwards, I'm the guy who's not only coached, but spent the last 10 years interviewing great NFL players and future great NFL players, and I know how to get you there. And so I'm going to talk about the NFL a whole lot until I have some track record as a college coach. I think he's doing just fine. I don't think he's doing just fine with the recruiting, but I think his tactic is the right tactic.
I was looking up their rankings in 2018 because yesterday was the second final National Signing Day. Their recruiting class was ranked fifth in the Pac-12 per 247 Sports, which is basically on par with the last couple of years.
Hey, speaking of which, because Gronk did go to Arizona, not Arizona State, but I was going to say.
No,
I know that, but I was kind of lumping all of Arizona in there. Arizona doesn't have a reputation as a party school as much as Arizona State. Like, I'm kind of shocked that Gronk didn't go to Arizona State. It's kind of a recruiting coup
That's a good
by
point.
Arizona to get him in there.
Remember how much you hated my take that Syracuse not getting one of the Gronkowski brothers was a total disgrace? And I stand by that.
Where did his brothers go?
Well, one went to Kansas. Well, oh, hold on.
Yeah, they went to somewhere.
One went to Kansas State. This is going to be weird. I'm going to confuse the Gronkowski brothers with the Watt brothers.
Yeah.
So just bear with me here. I think one went to Arizona State. Maybe two did.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I forget where the other one was.
So one went to Arizona State, not Arizona.
No. Well, Gronk went to Arizona.
Right.
And then the other guy went to Kansas State. And then I forget where the third guy went.
Okay.
I need to look it up.
No, the Syracuse not getting those guys. I guess that they lost one to the Midwest and not instead of Syracuse is, I guess, one thing. Midwestern people are more fun than Syracuse people. They just flat out are. Midwestern people are just, you want to go party. You party with Midwesterners because they don't necessarily.
I can buy that.
They have no shame. They're very friendly, but they also don't have like false pretenses or anything. They're not trying to impress anybody. So they get after it. It's a good time.
My whole thing with it basically is that it's one thing if, I think if you are one of these big football schools, not that Syracuse is, of course, but any big football school or one that plays at the D1 level.
Yeah.
One of the things that you count on it is if your alumni produce kids that are really good at football, assuming that they live in the same region or whatever, then you have a good chance of landing those kind of kids.
Yeah.
And it's not like if Gronk grew up in, you know, Florida and Tampa, I would have said, okay, fine. That dude grew up in Buffalo and played a year of high school in, like, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was out there in Laguna Beach
and
went to Arizona.
Well, of course, now the natural transition in talking about partying at University of Arizona, obviously, is James Harden. Because James Harden, now I might have to reevaluate Arizona versus Arizona State party ability. Because Harden's a world class, good time having dude.
He went to Arizona State.
Oh, dang it! Yeah, you're right. Okay,
he did.
I've got dyslexia here with
Gronkowski, everything going
with
on
Gronkowski
here.
Going to Arizona State. Yes. So anyway, between those two, so Harden's a little bit more subdued about it. And Gronkowski's more out in the open, so I feel like Harden, because he went to Arizona State, knows how to hide it a little better because he's a pro. He's a professional partier.
He's a professional partier.
He doesn't have to try to impress anybody.
That.
Where Gronkowski's still, he's got that underdog mentality. Like, yeah, I went to U of A. Everybody thinks Arizona State's the party school. I'm going to prove him wrong.
Well, Landry has been upset that I have not given more forceful Rockets opinion. So here's what I did last night.
I went
through the whole postgame show.
Yeah.
I wrote down Calvin Murphy's three biggest opinions after last night.
All right.
And I've got thoughts on all
three. So this is your strong opinion now?
Yes. Number one, Calvin Murphy, right out of the gate. The best thing to happen to James Harden is Chris Paul. That was the first big thing he said after the post-game show began.
Well, okay.
I'm fine with that.
Not untrue.
I'm fine with that, with a twist being, maybe depending on how the season comes to a close, hopefully in a positive fashion, hopefully, knock on wood, you could argue that maybe the way Game 5 and Game 6 went long-term was a positive for James Harden because he realized, A, he needed help, and B, he needed to change some things.
Yeah. I think too.
But I was fine with the premise.
If you look at last night, all right, okay. But how are you feeling about that? The best thing I saw last night was at the end of the game when they doubled Harden. Harden passed it to Paul. Paul got a catch and shoot 3-pointer. It was the only one of the night, and it happened in the last few minutes of the game. The only one for Chris Paul, or the first one at least they had last night. And that precisely was the play that, for whatever reason, people didn't want to even acknowledge that was going to happen. They felt like it was so weird that Chris Paul and James Harden, who each year are among the lead leaders in assists, somehow they felt like these guys were going to just start clutching the ball and not giving it up at all. I understand at the end of games, perhaps, they had that perception of James Harden, but that was more by necessity than anything else, because who else did you really want having the ball last year in the waning moments of a game? You want James Harden and ISO. And now you just have these situations where sometimes it's going to be ISO, a lot of times it's going to be ISO, but sometimes it's going to be a wide open catch and shoot because the other dude's getting all the attention.
Second big Calvin Murphy opinion last night is the best team in the league is the Rockets.
Yeah.
I do not agree with that.
Okay.
But I was fine with the take because they've been really good. And the third thing was, in Calvin's opinion, the Rockets should not make a trade. I disagree with that, although not forcefully, because I think if a good trade is available, and I think if they can move off the Ryan Anderson contract and set up the long term a little bit better, then that's something that I would pursue. And if they could add a backup big or somebody like that, I'd be good too.
But should they try to get the one seed, Mike?
Ryan Anderson is an interesting one because it's so rare in sports. It's one guy who's a role player has such a huge role. Like, has there ever been more of a role player whose role actually mattered so much? I guess you go back to I'd say it was like Jeff Saturday when he was center for the Colts.
Okay.
He wasn't all that great a center, but he had a particular relationship with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning trusted him, so he became much more important than his actual physical skill. Ryan Anderson, and whether he shoots well or whether he doesn't shoot well, because I trust that in the playoffs he'll be dialed in, he's doing what he's supposed to do on defense and everything. He gives you enough on defense in the playoffs. It's just simply like, is he going to go 0-for-13 from the 3-point line for stretches? And that could be the deciding factor in playoff series.
Well, if you look at the last, I guess 10 or 11 years, Daryl Morey has always made a trade at the deadline. The Demo one didn't count 2 years ago, but I still, that to me holds up because they executed a trade. We'll see if he does or does not make a move.
And this is the other thing. Okay, Mike, in terms of being emotional about the Rockets, this all happened last week when there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with the Super Bowl and drama on the show and everything. Steve Kerr, when he tweeted, there was a tweet of a Harden step back three where people claimed that it was traveling, and Steve Kerr thought it was a DM, but it was an actual tweet where he said, "It's an embarrassment. I think the league is so happy with all the scoring that it doesn't want to enforce stuff like that." I'm torn with this because I understand people's concern with any time guys are getting away with traveling. I'm just sick of it because so often with Harden's Euro steps or in this situation on this step back three, it looks on the naked eye like, oh yeah, clearly that's traveling. But then if you just spend a little bit of time examining it, it's not traveling at all. And Harden gets hosed a lot in the court of public opinion because people watch highlights on these Euro steps and they think like, oh, that's clearly a travel. And it's not even close. And Steve Kerr, and now Steve Kerr is one. Steve Kerr, whose team just defined the moving screen for years in the NBA, all of a sudden is whining about little ticky-tack things like this.
I thought it was really unnecessarily petty of Steve Kerr.
Yeah, and Curry shuffles his feet all the time. Now he's made up for it. He says that James Harden is the best player in the NBA right now.
Vandy will join us in studio at 8 o'clock, top of the hour, in honor of the Houston Sports Awards happening tonight. It's going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. We are going to rank the number 34s who they are honoring tonight. Mike and Seth, Matt Radio.